I can hear myself loud and clear, so I guess you can hear me. I promise not to put you to sleep, but to the contrary, to make sure you wake up. If I notice anybody nodding, I'll turn up the volume. If you notice anything from the worship songs, I couldn't help but be touched. All of them were mentioning the name of Jesus. Sometimes you find yourself in certain situations, you don't have time to compose a prayer. You can't pray, you can't do anything, but what you can do is shout Jesus. The song says, shout Jesus from the mountains. I mean, I don't know whether I've said this before, but I had a situation like that probably 16 or 17 years ago. I was driving south on, I think it's Thor, the one that has the two lights back to back, right? There's one right at the gas station, and there's another one at the, and for whatever reason, I had my eyes focused on the second light and breezed right through the first one, and there was a car. Till this day, I only know it's Jesus, because it was a car coming right there on the green, and I just screamed, Jesus. And he delivered me. There's power in the name of Jesus for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the difference. That is the difference. There's power in that name. You can take it to the bank. You can take it to the hospital. You can take it anywhere. Demons tremble at that name. Sickness flees at that name. Provisions happen with that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let's hold on to that name. You know, if your name was Adrian Bezos, instead of break, I just picked another B. People, there are certain things you get with that name, right? But if I went somewhere and said my name was Adrian Bezos, they might look at me as if I'm a bozo. A thought came to my mind. No, I won't say it. Or if I said my name was Henry Biden, I wouldn't say that. All righty. That was just a little encouragement for somebody who might need some encouragement this morning. The title of the message today is Challenges for the Church. Challenges for the Church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, last couple of verses, which is 16 and 17, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, even those boring genealogies in the Old Testament that we like to skip over. I'm guilty of that as well. Maybe none of you are, but they're there for a reason. All scripture for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17 tells us that the man of God may be equipped or complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't need a new version of the Bible that removes man and says person to know that when the Bible says man, it means all mankind, including women, right? So we may be equipped and complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you know that the church is facing challenges in today's culture that we've never faced before? Pastor Jim gave a very challenging message on the end times. All the signs are there. All the signs. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. From the Message Bible, we see the same passage. The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long that they've lost their capacity for truth. Professional liars. Now there's a difference between those who have never accepted God's plan of salvation and the gift of His Son Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin and death, and for those that have and that have lived for Him and at some point have turned our backs on Him and walked away from the faith. That, brethren, is a terrible and a dangerous place to be. Amen? Because one of the reasons is none of us knows when our name comes up, when our time on this journey is up and we will be called to give an account of what we did with what we were given. So some will depart from the faith. So when it starts happening, we should not be caught off guard. We should not be caught unaware, because it's been predicted. Jesus Himself told His disciples that they will be hated because of Him. Right? The Scripture says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? We live in the world, but we are not of the world. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. What are deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons? They know what the truth is. They have no intention of following the truth, but to the contrary, they want to deceive as many as possible. So what do? They take a small grain of what is true and wraps it up in a lot of lies and forms a whole doctrine. Amen? They pick one verse out of the Bible and build a whole doctrine around and deceives a lot of people, unfortunately. The church loves all people. I've been asked, do you guys accept, you guys welcome homosexuals to your church? Yes, we do. We love them to death. At some point, you might hear that God doesn't particularly care for that sin according to his word. What the world does, what the culture does, is take an act or a sin and then wrap it up in the person. So if you don't like the sin, then that translates to you hating that person. That's the deception. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we are to love people, which I hope we all do. And don't get carried away by the deception and the lies which are intended to cause us to go astray and to walk away from the faith. Because some people go as far as say, well, if that's what, excuse me, if that's what the church is, then I want nothing to do with the church. Amen? Further down in that same chapter, starting at verse 10 and ending at verse 15, we read these words. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What is Paul writing here to his young disciple Timothy? Warning him that because we take a stand and we walk after the truth, that we will suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Let's accept that as a given. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when we may be called upon to take a stand for our faith, to take a stand for what we believe in. Amen? Because we trust in the living God. And I find this next clause interesting. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe? Yes, he's the Savior of all. But he will only become my Savior when I believe that he's paid the price for my sins and accept that free gift. Amen? So you hear this from the world, oh, God is a loving God. He can't, and fill in the blank. Or people who don't even want to hear the mention of the name of God, but suddenly when there's natural disasters or these things happen, then how can a loving God allow such a thing to happen? Or they blame climate change. But I won't go off on that tangent, I promise you. But God is sovereign. He is the savior of all who accept him. And his gift is available to all. Amen? It's just that it's a gift we have to accept. Verse 11, these things command and teach. Okay, we go back to the scripture that I read first. From 2 Timothy, these things, what are they? The Holy Scriptures. Which all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We are commanded to not only tell others, help them, but to teach it. That's a challenge for the church. That's the work of the church. We don't expect the world to teach the doctrine of God to a dying and a hungry and a lost generation. No, what the world will tell them is that you don't need God, that you got it within yourself, that you can help yourself, that you can find your own way, you can find your own path, that all roads lead to heaven, that God is too good and loving to allow you to perish in eternal damnation. That's what the world will say. The world will say you don't need God. We as the church have been challenged to spread the word that without God and without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are lost eternally. That's what the word of God says. We're not pronouncing judgment upon anybody. We're only speaking what the word says. And we will not pick and choose what we teach, at least from this body. Amen? We'll teach and preach from the entirety of the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word. So even though we may be young, not only naturally, well, I ceased being young a long time ago, but compared to a couple here, I'm still... See, I seem... yeah. Let no one despise you. You may be young, but with the Spirit of God in you, you still can be an example for the brethren. Or you may be young in your walk with the Lord. But from day one, after accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have something to tell somebody that they need. Amen? You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to be able to quote scriptures like Jack Van Impe. All you need to do is know that said, yes, I was lost and now I'm found. I was bound and now I'm free. I was blind, and now I can see. I was on my way to eternal damnation, and now I've crossed over to the path of eternal life with my Lord and Savior. That's all you need. There's no story like your own story. Be an example. So it's not only in word, in conduct, in how we carry ourselves, in being a light to others around us within our own respective spheres of influence. In love, having genuine love and concern for those around us doesn't really cost us anything. Just a smile. Just a hello. Just a text for those of us that text. A phone call. Sometimes that's all somebody needs to change their day from a dreary one to a hopeful one. In love. In spirit. Having the spirit of truth that lives within us. And walking with that spirit and allowing that spirit to shine through us. In faith. How many of you know that we already got all the faith we need? Always pray, God, give me faith to do this and this and this. God has given each and every one of us the measure of faith that we need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. So I will break the news to you. Breaking news. It's not faith we need, it's the ability to act on the faith that we already have. That God has already given us. You see, it takes an initial measure of faith to even become saved, right? So, I don't think any of us prayed for faith to accept Jesus Christ. We already had that from God, not from ourselves. So, he's already given us the measure of faith that we need to accomplish what he has saved us and called us to accomplish. And in purity, appearing pure before our Savior. He died, he suffered and died expressly because we could not be pure in ourselves. Amen? So don't let the enemy remind you right now as we sit here, oh, you dirty little thing. He's a liar. He's a professional liar. As the scripture says, when God sees us after we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we're covered by the blood. What he sees is us cleansed by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. We appear pure in his eyes. And let's see ourselves, let's begin to see ourselves as God sees us and not as the world and the culture tries to define us. Amen? One of the signs of old age is I forgot my water in the car, so I'll have to make do with the coffee. Verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So Paul is saying here, but I believe Jesus would have been saying the same words. Give attention to reading. Reading what? The Word of God. To doctrine and to exhortation. That's one of the reasons that the scripture is profitable to us, for exhortation, for challenging us, for building up our faith, for building up our relationship with God, for preparing us for the time when we will become challenged and we will have something to hold on to. You'd be surprised, for those of you that have been in church for some time that have been reading your Bible, how if you are in a situation And some of you may have already experienced this, where you are in a situation where you did not have a Bible with you, how quickly scriptures will come into your spirit through the Holy Spirit that will help you during those times of questioning, distress, grief, comfort, whatever the case may be. That's how God works. Yes, you may not know the reference or the exact quotation, but enough of that word is in you that it can help you in those situations, even when you don't have a physical Bible or your phone or your iPad with you. Give attention to doctrine. Doctrine is even more important today than it has ever been. Because there's so much stuff out there that runs contrary to what the Word of God says. So that if we're not familiar with what the Word of God says, we will be easily led astray. Because guess what? Some of us tend to believe everything we hear on the news or on TV or read on the internet or on TikTok. I see some smiles. Anybody guilty of that? Let's not pattern our lives and our behavior and hinge our destiny on what we see on TikTok. I'd rather stand upon the time-challenged principles of the Word of God that have withstood the tests of time. Amen? Remember, people are still so convinced of the truth of the Word of God that they were willing to die some horrible deaths. Who would do that for a lie? Well, some people would do anything if they are deceived. But the culture now is beginning to more and more run completely counter to what the Word of God says. So much so that now as believers, sometimes we got to think twice before we say something. And that's getting downright scary, if you ask me. But give attention to doctrine. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. None of us should forget the gifts that are in us. God has gifted each and every one of us with something unique in us to be used for His kingdom and for His glory. Amen? And if you're not sure what that gift is, just ask Him. Just ask Him. A lot of us know what the gifts are. Some of us would prefer some other gift. I'd rather be able to sing like Ron. Unfortunately, I can't. But let's use what God has already given us. Because then it comes naturally. You enjoy working in that gift. And most of all, it brings pleasure to our Savior. Meditate, verse 15, on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. That others will see you and know that indeed God is working something in your life. That you are a representative of the kingdom of God. This is just downright scary. I used this in one of my messages many years ago. There's an organization called the Center for Progressive Christianity, which says it is, and I quote, an approach to Christianity that is inclusive, innovative, and informed, which by, if you are a mathematics person and you look at the other side, it means that regular Christianity must be exclusive, old-fashioned, and uninformed. I think that's what they're trying to tell us. Anyway, an approach to Christianity that is inclusive, innovative, and informed. They have eight statements, which they call the 8 points. A few of them are, one, we have found an approach to God through the life and teachings of Jesus. We recognize the faithfulness of other people who have other names for the way to God's realm and acknowledge that their ways are true for them as our ways are true for us. And by the way, before you think there's some way out thing, they do have some affiliate, they do have some churches here in Spokane that are part of this organization. We invite all people to participate in our community and worship life without insisting that they become like us in order to be acceptable, including but not limited to believers and agnostics, conventional Christians and questioning skeptics, women and men, those of all sexual orientations and gender identities, those of all races and cultures, those of all classes and abilities, those who hope for a better world, and those who have lost hope. We find more grace in the search for understanding than we do in dogmatic certainty, more value in questioning than in absolutes. That is just dangerous. And the pathetic part of it is that we will have people who will fall for this kind of stuff. Because it's a play on words. Right? Dogmatic certainty. What they call dogmatic certainty is just believing what the Word of God says. So I plead guilty to dogmatic certainty because I stand upon the Word of God and believe what it says. And that's a challenge for us as believers. Because these kind of doctrines are being taught right in the world in which we live. And some of us may have or know people, or there may be people within our own respective spheres of influence who may be carried away or being in the process of being led astray by these kind of doctrines. Indeed, it's a sad time in the life of the church today, but at the very same time, a challenging and exciting time. We have our work cut out for us. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. This is in the Old Testament. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. Those who know the truth and decide not to follow the truth shall become corrupted. And the scripture has already told us that many of them will fall away from the faith. But the people who know their God, who stand upon the word of God, who unflinchingly believe that the word of God is true, what does the scripture say? They shall be strong and what? And carry out great exploits. And I will add italics for God. And do the things and accomplish the purposes for which God has chosen to save us and to call us and to redeem us and to translate us and transform us from death into life. So rise up and carry out great exploits. The church needs to wake up and face the challenges of our time. The world is changing. There's no doubt. The culture is changing. But God will not change to fit the culture. Amen? That's what many of us, or that's what the world will tell you. Oh, God's got to understand. This is the way it is in 2023. Well, he does understand sin. He's understood that from the beginning. And that's why he made a way of redemption, just because of his great love for us. Philippians 3 and verses 10 and 11 from the NIV. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. We heard about baptism this morning. That's what symbolically happens when we become baptized. We identify with Jesus. And we symbolically go down under the water and come back up, resurrected. But we want to know him not just casually, but in the power of his resurrection. You see, the power that we have is intimately tied in with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, Paul says, we're wasting our time. Our faith is in vain. So one of the biggest lies of the skeptics is to begin with questioning. They've given up now questioning whether Jesus was a real person in the light of overwhelming evidence. Now they're trying to say, did he really resurrect? That's the oldest trick in the book. Did God really say you can't eat this fruit? But it's because of the resurrection power that we're able to not only survive, but to overcome the challenges that we're facing and that we are, the increasing challenges that we are going to face as believers and as a church. I ask the worship team to come up. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And we'll close with this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because he humbled himself, God has exalted him, the scripture tells us, and given a name that like no other name. That at the mention of that name, knees have to bow. Everything that has a name has a knee. I'll repeat it. Everything that has a name has a knee. Sickness has a knee that has to bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. Discouragement has a knee that has to bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. Is a name like no other name. And there's power in that name. Power not only for salvation, but power to strengthen us to walk through this life. Face the attacks of the enemy. Face the onslaughts of the enemy. Because guess what? We can't give up. We've come too far to give up. We've got to continue to press forward. To rely on him, rely on his strength, continue in his word. And I'll be lying to you if I told you I think it's going to get easier. I don't think so. It's going to get harder. So we're going to need him more than ever before. We're going to need to spend time on our knees in prayer. Going to need to spend time reading, studying, and meditating upon his word. We're going to need to spend time fellowshipping, building one another up, encouraging one another. Because that's the only way we will endure to the end. Please stand with me. What a fitting song. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed right now. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't taken that first step, we don't want you to leave here the same way you came. I want to give you an opportunity to make things right with God this morning. If that's you, just slip your hand up. God sees you where you are. And if you're here this morning, you need just something extra from God, not the same old, you're sick in body, you're sick in mind, you're sick in spirit. Whatever it is, God is still in the prayer answering business. We just heard the song sang. Slip your hand up and we're going to pray with you this morning. We're going to and unite our faith with your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. We come lifting up your people this morning, both those in this sanctuary and those listening on the airwaves and wherever they are, and those that will listen after this. We commit them individually to you this morning. You see their hearts. You see their hurts. You see their hang-ups. You see frayed relationships. You see children and grandchildren that have walked away from the faith, that have turned their backs on you. We clean them now in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit and by the blood of Jesus. We speak healing this morning. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And we come standing on your word this morning to pronounce healing for those knees, for that back, for that lump, wherever it is. We speak healing now with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we speak victory for your people this morning. In whatever battle we're going to fight this week, Lord, whatever obstacles that the enemy is going to place in our path, we pray you would take us over them, take us around them, take us through them, Lord, by your power that works in us. We give you all praise this morning, for you deserve all the glory. Dismiss us now with your grace and with your presence, and may your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.